Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, I'ma win as a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Matt Price, and I have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 368 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. So drop a DAP in the chat or the comments if you're with us. We appreciate all of you. And today we have Matt Price joining us. Matt, thanks for coming on. How are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. Nice to be back. It's been a while. We got some new digs here, new hosts. Russ is out of the way, so we can have a little fun, stretch out a little bit, man.
Yeah, we'll have lots of fun. Before we get started, why don't you drop your socials, what you're working on, where people can find you, et cetera.
Yeah, everything's over at DLFDynastyLeagueFootball.com, the DLF Dynasty podcast with myself, Ryan McDowell, and Dan Myler. When I write stuff, it's also there. Twitter X is at Matt Price FF, and Blue Sky is, I think, Matthew Price at Blue Sky or whatever the extras are over there.
I can never remember that whole thing.
Me neither.
Dot B Sky something.
I think, yeah. There,
yeah.
And then before we get into the news, what's a guiding principle you have in trading?
I guess I just try to be good to your trade partners, you know, but try not to burn any bridges. You know, if you get sent a bad offer, don't reply with a equally worse offer. That doesn't help anybody out. There's no reason to go and burn bridges in your fantasy leagues, especially like a 12 team league. If you're not playing like a multi-copy league, 24, 36 plus teams, you burn, you burn 10% of the league, by answering and being a dick to a trade offer that somebody has sent you. So just politely decline or send a counter that is actually a counter that you think they might accept. So I'll go with that.
Absolutely. It's a good rule to follow. Let's get into the news and notes then. I didn't have time to do a question of the week this week. I apologize to the listeners. I promise I will be better. I've been moving. I've had work. I've got a lot of things going on right now. So I'm finally settled. I'll be back to normal next week, But
you did manage to make up some news.
I did manage to make up some news. I really squeezed the juice out of the rock on this one. So let's get into the first part. We touched on it a bit last week, but the tush push wasn't banned, Rocky. First off, congratulations. You can tush push your way to another Super Bowl. But Matt, did you take the tush push into account when you were looking at Hurts or Barkley or anything else? And does this change anything now that it's not banned?
It doesn't change anything, so nothing's really changing. I made a pretty bad call last year. I was a complete fade on Barkley, mostly because I did think that Church was going to get double digit rushing touchdowns again, and maybe there wouldn't be enough left on the bone for Barkley. And you know, Hurts upheld his end of the bargain. Barkley decided to have a bunch of long touchdowns. The other reason why I was kind of off Barkley was the pass catching. I did thought that was certainly going to be reduced in Philadelphia, and he did have the lowest targets and the lowest receptions of his career, except for the injury season. So, you know, I'm probably going to make the same mistake this year. You know, but a lot of people still have them as the running back one in Dynasty, or even a top three, top five guy in Dynasty. That's not me. I'm not going to buy for those prices, and I'm probably not taking him number one overall in a redraft league. I think that we're going to see some regression there. So yeah, Hurts is still going to score double digit touchdowns from the ground, and maybe this year it actually does hurt Barkley.
Sorry. Go ahead, Rocky.
I was just going to agree with Matt on Barkley. Like, I think I've mentioned this on the pod, that I think they're going to pass more this year. I think they're going to not want to lean on Barkley as much because he touched the ball a ridiculous amount of times last year. I don't think it has much to do with the tush push. I just think there's no – obviously, he's not going to repeat what he did last year, but I just think we're going to see maybe a fairly significant drop-off. Just I don't think they're going to want to ride him into the ground again.
And I know your feelings on Barkley, Matt, but is Hurts a top five dynasty quarterback for you still?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Throw all of the quarterbacks to provide any rushing ability up at the top of the rankings for me, and Hurts is included in that. Some people want to put him five amongst that group. That's totally fine. It's all kind of good. He's going to score his double digit touchdowns on the ground. He's going to be a top five guy.
Yep, and I think Rocky and I have talked about in the past that with the inevitable Saquon regression, that it should lead to more passing for Hurts, and that could help for Devontae and AJ along the way. So let's talk about an old podcast favorite, and I put this on here for a reason, because I know everyone's going to say this, but Javonte told the Cowboys reporters he's really starting to feel like himself. And obviously he's not going to say he feels bad, he's not going to say he feels down. But I heard this question on another podcast, and I believe it was Adam Azer on CBS, but he said, is Javonte this year's J.K. Dobbins, the one we're just completely writing off, and he's worth a third, and, you know, you can do whatever you want to do, and at some point you're going to look up and he's an RB2. Matt, what do you think?
I think it's certainly possible. It's a little bit difficult to me. I was on Javonte last year as the resurgence, and it just never really transpired. You know, coming out as a prospect, he was so good at evading tackles and breaking tackles and running physical, and that kind of he kind of looked like he was running in mud last year. And maybe another year fixes that. It was obviously a very gruesome injury, so the more time that passes, presumably the more will return to his ability, but it's just really hard to stomach it. This just feels like a volume play for 2025. He's almost like a rental. I at some point the Dallas is going to invest some draft capital or some significant free agent signing at the running back position.
We keep
saying
it just
feels
that,
like a guy. We do. I mean, hey, that's the bull case, right? Dallas believes in him enough to not add anything of significant value. I think that Jaden Blue is going to be a fun complimentary piece, but there'll be plenty of touches to go around. But Javonte, he feels, until proven otherwise, he's just like that 3 yards in a cloud of dust guy, which is maybe all that you need if you're going to get 300 touches back there, you know?
Rocky, you're a former Javonte guy, I think is the best way of putting it now, but are you still taking it? If someone offers you Javonte for late second, early third, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm taking that all day. I'm still a Javonte truther. And, I mean, this is probably going to be the best setup for him so far in his career. He is even further removed from the injury now. And like Matt said, they did not bring in anyone significant. I know some people like Blue, but he's going to be, like you said, change of pace guy, I think. And It's a pretty good offense, and he's got a good quarterback, and he's got some receivers to take the, you know, they're not going to be keying on the running game necessarily, especially because Javonte isn't a big, you know, name guy that people are threatened by. I kind of like that Dobbins compare. I know they're not the same guy, but I mean, just in terms of this
just
guy,
the situation,
a ton from coming off injury, all that stuff, you know, second year off an injury and all that stuff. So I would trade a second for Javonte all day. So if people are in the trade actually want to send me Javonte for a second, I'll do it.
Yeah, it's funny.
I would send you Javonte for a second for sure.
Well, I forget which league we're in together. I might be rebuilding in that league, so I might not do it there. But in the ones I'm competing.
No, it's funny, and as I was thinking about this more as I wrote the question out, I remember one of my first episodes on here was Russ was asking, like, would you buy Dobbins? I'm like, nope, no chance, out, gone. You know, he's going to be nothing. He's hurt too many times. This is the same thing. And to Rocky's point, this is probably the best line he's had for sure. The best offense he's probably been in. And I think it's a very interesting scenario.
Split touches than he has in the past.
But if you tell me, like, Javonte is, and they're not the same player, but if you tell me Javonte is the Zeke role and he's going to get 10 touchdowns on the goal line, sure. Like, that's great. That's worth a second. So If you tell me Javonte and Blue or Zeke and Pollard, great. I'll sign up for that right now. So let's see what's going on there. We'll do these last two kind of quickly. Cousins will be on Pittsburgh's radar if they don't get Rodgers. Cousins did not show up to voluntary OTAs today. I know that's Rocky's favorite storyline is who shows up to voluntary OTAs. I didn't put it on the news, but James Cook didn't, but people aren't freaking out about that yet. And then Rattler and Show will and Shuck will battle for the QB1 spot. Hayner got hurt. So I don't think there's much to take away from that. So we can go on to trades or listener questions. Matt, which would you like to do first?
Let's do trades.
Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per tight end reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1 because they will never break. They'll always hold. And we have a TA1 trade. And it is Jameson Williams and Jordan Mason for Jalen Knoll and Devin Neal. And I did add a note to this. It's not really news, but I thought it was worthy of this deal. They said the Lions beat reporters are saying they're going to aim to throw the ball downfield more. Goff was bottom three in passes longer than 20 yards last year, and the Jameson hype train appears to be picking up again. So, Matt, what do you think of the trade?
This is just comes down to do you want points now or maybe do you want points in the future? I'm probably just going to take the Jameson and Jordan Mason side. I do think the Lions are a little bit risky this year. They do have the toughest, I think it's the toughest passing schedule in the league this year. They don't get to play every game inside like they did last year. So there's some risk there, but Jameson can get the ball and on jet sweeps on short stuff and use a speed. So not that concerned from that standpoint. And Jordan Mason, I really like, you know, he's one Aaron Jones, 30-year-old running back hamstring away from a lead back role and, you know, presumably one of the best passing offenses in the league, depending on how JJ McCarthy works out. So if I really want the points, that side is an easy smash for me. If I'm rebuilding, I mean, I like both Jalen Knoll and Devin Neal, and they're both in situations where they could thrive. Maybe not necessarily this year, but in the future. So this just comes down to that. I'm going to take the Jameson side, but if you want to build for the future, I have no problem with the Jalen Knoll side.
Yeah, it's pretty easily the Jameson side for me. Even if I'm rebuilding, I think I might want to try and get a little more than, like, to me, I equate
absolutely
that to
you want more than that. You could get, you should be able to get a first for Jameson, right? You should be able to get at least a first valuation for
that's
Jameson.
Like a mid to late second and a third to me at best. In terms of you're just equating those guys to draft picks. So I agree. I think you should be able to get a late first, at worst an early second, and neither one of those guys has that kind of value. I mean, I guess in theory, one of them could at some point, but I'd want a little more for Jameson. I mean, even last year when he was definitely had ups and downs, I was just looking at the TA scoring. Wide receiver 25, and that to me is worth more than a late second and early third, even if he just stays there.
Yeah, I love the two rookies on the other side. They've been actually two of my most picked up players in rookie drafts this year. But I will still take Jameson and Jordan Mason. If people remember last season, I was big into Jameson when he was worth like a third round pick. And I said sell him if you can get a first, but you know, if you can't, I absolutely can see a boom case for him. They did pick up his option. They explored trading him a little bit, but I think he's really a part of this. And if there is any credence to them throwing the ball more downfield, Jameson's going to be the benefactor to that. So I can absolutely see. And by the way, Jordan Mason is, like, to me, one of the most slept on running backs in.
Totally. Right, 100%. Now. 100%. People think that Aaron Jones is going to get everything like he did last year. I don't think they wanted to give him everything last year. It's just the way it worked out. And yeah, Mason, I would not be surprised if he outtouched Aaron Jones by the end of the year.
And I definitely think he'll get more red zone and goal line carries than Aaron Jones will. I think Aaron Jones is going to become kind of a third down back, and they can keep his legs a little more fresh and not have to do, you know, 300 carries like he has the last couple of years. So I think Jordan Mason's just better than Ty Chandler. And if there's any world where Aaron Jones gets hurt, Jordan Mason's a top 10 running back that week. So
yeah,
you can take the upside. Moving on to TA4, we have the aforementioned Javonte Williams and Darnell Mooney, which, Matt, I want to get your opinion on him in a second because there's a lot of people kind of saying he's undervalued for a 2026 second and a 2026 third. So what do you think of the trade?
I'm just going to take the picks. You know, like I said, I don't believe in Williams long term. If you need points this year or need volume this year, then fine with that side. Mooney, I think, is just a replaceable piece. He'll certainly have weeks, I think, and he's a fine NFL player, I would say. But I think his fantasy production is you know, unreliable. And Rocky knows that probably still knows that I'm holding out still holding on to a candle for Kyle Pitts is emerging as the second best guy. Yes, there.
Me too.
Not going to happen, I know, but
I got him in a couple of eliminators. I'm waiting.
So, you know, I'm just not going to be excited about Darnell Mooney.
Yeah. And I'm one of the few that are still not completely out on Pitts either, Matt. So, but I mean, I already said basically I would trade a second for Javonte. So do I really want to trade a third for Darnell Mooney? Not really, but I'll take that side just because I do like the Javonte upside. I know it's probably only one, maybe 2 years. You know, 26 second, who knows what that's going to be. Maybe you can get something better in season than Javonte for a 26 second. That would be the only concern. And obviously making this trade now, anything could happen between now and September with a running back. Yeah. But in general, and just value-wise, I'm fine trading a second for Javonte Williams, and Mooney's worth a third, so whatever.
I think Mooney is an underratedly startable piece. Mooney had 1,000 yards last year on 106 targets. Now, I totally get if you think that Pitts is coming back. I am a Gator fan. I will always believe in Kyle Pitts because he's 19 and he always will be. So in the case that he's not, Darnell Mooney is easily something you can throw in on your starting lineup and really be fairly happy with because his floor is, you know, it's lower, but his ceiling is ridiculous. And especially if you're one of the best ball bros, Darnell Mooney's a beast for that. So I think it's an interesting trade, and I would probably take Javonte and Mooney just because I'm in the same camp as Rocky where you can always get future picks back. So I will take Javonte and Mooney. Moving on to TA7, we have Josh Jacobs for Jake Ferguson in a 2026 second. Matt, what do you think?
I like Ferguson. I think he's kind of undervalued right now. But Jacobs just feels better. So I'm going to stake with Jacobs. I do think there's some risk there. Marshawn Lloyd was missed basically all of last season, and say what we want about these second year running backs. None of them really stood out aside from Bucky Irving. Right. But I do think he's going to be involved this year. The Packers did not make any moves in that direction during the draft and really during free agency. Emmanuel Wilson played okay last season and he's still there. So, you know, maybe he has that secondary role, but I have to imagine they want to get Lloyd involved. And that means a little bit less touches, I think, for Jacob. So that from that risk side, I guess you could see the other side, but I would just want more. So I would take Jacobs here and take the one or two more years of kind of bell cow work.
Yeah, I'm with Matt, I think, again here. I would take Jacobs. I was never a big Lloyd fan anyways. Even with him coming back, I'm not as concerned. I think Jacobs still has a huge amount of that workload. And he's always just produced. And I don't see that changing this year. And Ferguson, I like, you know, I was just looking. He started off pretty well last year. So I think, you know, with Dak back and everything, I think he could be a nice little tight end, but he's not going to be a game changer anyway. Not that Jacobs is necessarily a game changer, but it's just I would rather have the running back. I don't think, you know, there's like, you know, 10 tight ends that can do what Jake Ferguson can do.
Yeah. And some shine came off him too with the pick and signing. You know, we thought we might get a target boost, but that's probably not happening now.
Yeah, and for me, I think there's a lot to like with Jacobs, and for some reason, I think people keep putting Marshawn Lloyd and a lot of other people behind him. And I think it's one of those things where, or I'm sorry, ahead of him. I think it's a lot of those things where there were people like Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks who had 150 carries last year. Like Marshawn Lloyd can still get his, and Jacobs will still be a 300 carry guy. Yeah. So I'm not scared of Jacobs. I have always been a Jacobs guy, even though he's on the Packers, but I like Ferguson, but he's not better than Jacobs. So moving on to the listener questions, FF underscore medicine cabinet at FF underscore med cabinet as the resident FF zoo animal expert. He needs to weigh in on 100 dudes versus a gorilla.
Oh my God.
You do that first and then I'll get to the second.
What are we talking about? Just 100 guys fighting one gorilla?
Basically, this is a Twitter war over the last 3 weeks or so, and it's really got the internet split up. As someone who lives on the internet too much, of who would win, basically 100 men versus a gorilla.
This is a new one for me. I usually get tagged in these, like the one where it was like choose 50 hawks or 5,000 rats or whatever it was.
What is it, like all the Pokemon versus a billion lions is another one I've seen. Yeah.
So this is just 100 men, 100 with human, no weapons, no nothing, just like
that is my read of it. Yes, I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, it's a war. On this. It's a war of attrition. Like the gorilla is certainly going to take out 20. Maybe 30% of these
quickly,
but, you know, but yeah, very quickly. But this gorilla is going to get tired and eventually the men will be.
Yeah.
That's just too many. If you said 25, maybe gorilla, you know, if you said 50, it's closer, but 100, that seems like a lot. So we'll go with the men.
Yeah. God, nothing. Yeah.
As long as like 30 of those men are okay with losing their lives, I think that right.
God, some of those gorilla videos you see on like Twitter and YouTube are just so freaking terrifying. How fast they
also
can move up there.
Also, if 100 men came, like the gorilla is probably going to leave at that point. These are not dumb. they know that he is vastly outnumbered. He's probably just going to leave. You know, so
too smart. All right. But alternatively, what are some favorite fourth round or later flyers in rookie drafts? So are you done with rookie drafts, I guess, first off? And then.
I am. Actually, you know what? I have one more that's coming up in a contract league I just joined. So all but one of them are over. Fourth round rookies. Well, Jalen Royal sometimes slips there. Jarquez Hunter sometimes slips there. If we want to go deeper than that. I really like Taj Brooks in Cincinnati. I thought he was a really nice prospect. And I know Chase Brown like basically avoided all the danger zones in the draft. But Taj Brooks is a bigger back that could take something off of the ceiling, at least from him. I'll just throw – I know everybody hates it because he's going to be a gadget player. But there is a world out there where Savion Williams scores some fantasy points. So I'll say Savion as your last round dart throw too.
Like I've been drafting a lot of him just based off the fact that they took him on day two. Day two receiver that you can get.
Day two guys round. Going in round four. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. And he's a monster. He's a freaking monster, that guy. If it works out, like, I mean, yeah, I just think there, I just would not bet against LaFleur, but, you know, bias here as a Packers fan.
Yeah. Rocky, do you have anyone? Otherwise, I can rip through a couple. I'm kind of looking through the list.
He mentioned two of the ones I've been drafting a lot, in Taj Brooks and and Williams. I don't think there's anyone that really sticks out for me. I've been drafting a lot of running backs in that range because I just always draft running backs late. But I don't have any special insight. Matt just raised his hand, so I don't let him say if he has another one.
I do. I have my darling of this year that probably will be nothing. But if you haven't watched a young man who comes out of UC Davis, Mr. Land Larrison for the Patriots. This guy is like, he's like a 6'2", 20 pound, like like he runs the ball, he returns the ball, he throws the ball. He's really, really fun. And if he makes the team, he'll probably be a special teams contributor. But he is a fun running back. He's had like 1,400 rushing yards and like 800 receiving yards, obviously in a very low competition. But he's really fun. If you haven't watched or seen or heard of Lan Larison, check him out.
Sidebar, Rocky, is it insider trading if we go pick up waivers right now? Yeah.
I've been taking him for a dollar, and every like auction league, he's been like my final dollar player. So
Roman said one of the running backs I was going to say.
Yeah, Woody Marks
is the guy I've been drafting a lot there too.
He's another kind of gadget guy, though.
Yeah, I'm not. I just like to grab the running backs, and he's one of the ones I've been.
I'm staring at kind of the bottom of DLF ADP. Kyle Manunga is not uninteresting. I think he's just a big bruiser of a running back. I think he'll have to earn his spot, but if he does, he's got some carries. Jordan James is slipping into the fourth. Christian McCaffrey's never healthy, and I think he might be better than Grendo.
Yep.
DJ Giddens, I don't know if he's making it to the fourth, but I said this a couple weeks ago. He's the best backup JT's ever had. So
true.
I think that's a good one. So we're going to get into Jarquez Hunter because I want to circle back to him. But there's another question on that later. Moving on to Dynastud in the questions, who really helped save the show because he dropped 5 questions today. Thank you, Dynastud. I appreciate you as always. His first one is, now that Russ is gone, I can safely ask this. What would you be looking to acquire T. Higgins for if you're a contender? And I will give all my picks for T. Higgins.
Because he said acquire for T. Higgins, which is a different question.
What would you be looking to acquire for? Oh.
If you're trading him away.
Oh, no, I'm not selling him. I'm a Russ Fisher disciple. Sorry. No, Matt, what would you be giving for T. or? Sorry, what would you be selling T. Higgins for?
I mean, if we're talking about like a player for T. Yeah. Higgins, you know, I'm probably going across positions. I want a top 10 running back kind of range. If I'm looking at draft picks, you're probably looking in like the 5 to 8 range. So if you want to stay at receiver, somebody like Ted, Quinshon Juggins, Travion Henderson, something like that. But for, I'm probably not moving T. Higgins for less than like a mid first valuation. So pick your favorite running back in that range.
I was just looking while Matt was talking. Travion Henderson is literally on DLF ADP.
I have a
player below T. Higgins.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Juggins is even lower. And above him, I'm curious if you guys would do, are Bucky Irving and Breece Hall.
Breece for me.
Breece easily. Yes. Bucky maybe. But, like, I don't understand if you're a contender why you're trading T. Higgins unless you just literally need a running back or something, right? I mean, like, there's no reason to do that.
Me and Frank have talked ad nauseum about how, especially this year, we expect the Bengals to just score a ridiculous amount of points with T. staying, with Jamar Chase, with Burrow, and with no defense. So, and a lot of targets being funneled to those two guys. So,
sorry, man. Tet's too high. Tet's above T. Higgins right now. That's too high. I don't know how much you do with the DLF ADP, but
I'd rather have T. Higgins.
I'd rather have T. Higgins too.
Then
Tet, he's up that high.
I don't know. I think you could go either way, but I like Tet just fine. I wouldn't say if I was rebuilding, I would take Tet. Probably take Tet there. I think he's good.
Would you rather have T or Bucky since we kind of skipped him?
I'd rather have T. I think I'd rather have T, but if you're really set on moving T and you need a running back, then Bucky's fine. I do have some reservations about Bucky this year, but I feel like I'm on an island there.
I'm one of the biggest Bucky supporters out there, and I'd still rather have T. I just feel more confident going forward in T. Higgins than Bucky Irving.
Sorry, Rocky, you said that wrong. We are one of the biggest Bucky supporters out there. There's some interesting names on here. Can we play a quick name game? T or Rashee Rice?
Rice, really? Easily.
Wow. It's the second week in a row.
I know. Yeah. I feel, and they're way smarter than us, Frank. I feel like
I know.
We've got to be more in on Rice.
We're really bad at Rice.
I think Rice is a massive buy. What is he like sitting at like wide receiver? Like
18 on DLF right now.
Like 18. Like I think he's closer to 12 than 18 personally.
Yeah, he's behind
Hunter. Assuming all the, the obvious risks.
Right. T or Kyren?
T, easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. And then T or Devontae Smith? They're the same role to me. Different offenses.
I guess T because, I mean, I like this. I think I like the Smith, the player, better, but the offensive situation.
Can you imagine Devontae Smith on the Bengals with that route running? Oh, it'd be awesome. Yeah. Rocky, probably harder for you.
Yeah, I think I still go T though. Like for the same reason Matt said, especially this particular year, I really like T to score a lot of points. And they're approximately the same age, correct?
T is 26 and Devontae is also 26, yes.
Yeah. And also, a Burrow offense is probably always going to pass more than a Hurts offense.
I think they're very class apart, though. Devontae and T. I guess that doesn't matter.
They might be right. Yeah, but and I guess T may not be with Burrow. We don't know for sure. Isn't this basically a one-year deal that he's on? Right? Yeah. So, but just going with the current situation, I got to blame T Higgins.
And then last one, T or McCaffrey.
Mm.
Let's say you're a contender.
I'm probably just gonna close my eyes and take McCaffrey. Honestly, I think it's probably the wrong move from a value and long term standpoint. Obviously, but I want the potential number one scorer in all of fantasy this year.
I hear what Matt's saying. I'm just so scared of McCaffrey right now.
Yeah, I know. I get it totally. As somebody who traded for him in like seven leagues last year, or not that many, but a lot of leagues last year, didn't really work out. So
yeah. I took a whole lot of Jordan James in the eliminators and stuff like that, including ours, I think. Rocky, I think I took Jordan James.
I let you mostly run that, so yeah.
I
don't remember all of our picks.
I think we auto-picked again for the last couple because I wasn't thinking.
Dude, I did too. Like, I just didn't get notifications for the last, like, I don't know, maybe even five picks and one of them, the DLF one maybe. And
yeah, they just turned off for some reason.
Yeah, I was up on it until, like round 12 or something, and then they just, like, disappeared.
Okay, Dynastat, second question. What would it take to tier up Burrow into Allen? I'll get to the second part. So what tiers Burrow into Allen?
First? I mean, yeah, at least. I wouldn't do it. I think it's a bad move. There's any reason why you would do that. Burrow's going to score just fine. You don't need to give up any other capital to get up to Allen.
You know, that's where I'm at. I don't like to tear up a quarterback anyway. And if we're already talking to elite quarterbacks and one just runs a little more, I'll just take the other elite quarterback. So
I guess, do we have to give a real answer here?
I think that's an answer of I wouldn't do it. But
It's at least a first.
Agreed.
I would not even consider more than a first.
I wouldn't even consider a first.
Yeah.
Like if it was, maybe if it was, I don't know, maybe Jaden Daniels, because you're buying back 5 years or whatever, but to go to older, I think Allen's older than Burrow. Maybe not by much, but.
Allen is 29 and Burrow is 28. Yep.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that deal. Don't do it. Don't do it, whoever you are.
I agree.
And then he said on the other side, what's a tier down? I'm assuming from Burrow. He said he's been trying unsuccessfully to get Herbert in May.
How much is he asking? I was going to say
three first.
People hate Caleb and Stroud right now, so
that's a good
maybe
one.
Those are maybe like those that. People hate Kyler Murray. I think he's still really good. You can definitely do it if you want to get if you want to really get spicy with it and get a lot of capital back. You go down to Trevor Lawrence, who I think is due for a big bounce back. So there's a lot of ways to get fun with that. I think May is a good target, but if you can't get there, he's pretty popular right now.
Yeah,
you got to go for somebody people hate. You got to when you're trying these tier down trades, you got to go for people that. Players that people hate right now.
I love the Murray one. I've always been a Murray guy. And he's at like QB 11 in ADP. So it's a pretty significant tier down. I think Burrow's like QB 4. something like that. So, get as much as you can on top. And then I know Frank shared with me, what was it at the second half of just this particular year? Is it the second half?
It's
the
schedule is like ridiculous. Stupid schedule. I mean, Kyler's second half this year is, I have it 2 seconds.
Like every team is like
week nine on, he plays Dallas, Seattle, San Francisco, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, LA Rams, Houston, Atlanta, and he plays Cincinnati in the championship week.
Oof, that's rough. Well, the Cincinnati one might be good based on their scoring and their lack of defense, but that is rough.
So, all right, we'll go. I think those are good tear downs. I think if you want to get May, you're not going to ask. You're not going to get as much back as you want because
you're not.
The May hive is heavy right now. So,
just dripping with honey. Just like
literally
swollen.
Okay, he said. I feel like a lot of people will ask Matt a bunch what his favorite animal is, which they didn't. So we'll get to that. So let's go the other way. What's his least favorite animal? The one that makes him go, "Oh crap, not that one again."
Oh, this is completely easy. I hope Jay Mike's not listening because it's his favorite animal.
He's probably listening.
The worst animal that's ever lived on this planet, honestly. Like, are you serious? You're an apex carnivore, but you eat the least nutritious grass on the planet, and you just fall off. Reason why people like them is because they fall off stuff. I mean, it's...
Iguanas?
It's just one of the worst animals I've ever seen. Did I say the animal? The
panda. I don't think you did. That's what I was like waiting for you to say the animal.
No. I thought I said it. No, it's a panda. Panda is the worst animal that's ever existed on the planet Earth.
But they're so cute, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all that's why we invested billions of dollars to save them from extinction.
Since no one asked what your favorite animal is, what is your favorite animal?
Man, I like a bunch of them. I guess I have to say polar bear, but you know, I love tapirs, especially Malayan tapirs.
Okay. Losing my place. Oh yeah. Actually, let's go to Roman's question. We'll take a break from Nystad for a second. He said, "Any live drafts for SAB and what draft position?" I am not live. I will go to Chicago as a guest. I've already been working on that. I am drafting, two. I was four, and I moved. Matt, are you in your SFB yet? Are you got your spot, got your draft, anything?
I think I am four. I can't remember the league. I was Cal because that was my alma mater, but they put it on sleeper, so I had to go pick something else. I think it's the Al Bundy High School, Polk High School or something.
Yeah,
okay. I think I went. I have the fourth pick in that division.
Yeah, I literally just picked mine like this morning. I took way too long to pick my division. Just laziness. Has he said, is it third round reversal again?
Yes.
Okay, good.
He hinted at it, you know.
Then I like my pick better because that's what I've done every year is I pick 11. I like having the late pick than the early pick.
Answer your question, does Scott tell us anything directly? Like he tells us like, I don't know. He dropped jerseys or shirts at midnight on a Monday one day. I mean,
yeah, I'm not live. And like I said, I waited way too long. So I didn't get any Philadelphia teams. And then I was thinking of going for the Rockies for obvious reasons, even though I'm not a Rockies fan. But they're on that. The Rockies are on sleeper, even though there was plenty of spots still available. Rockies was on sleeper. So I ended up going Gotham Rogues, Batman.
So you're sitting with. Or no, is he Gotham Knights?
He might be Gotham Knights because he's not. I didn't show me where you could pick the divisions, who was in there. And then once I picked it, he was not.
No, yeah, they don't tell you until after you've picked the division.
Yeah, I don't think they used to do it that way. But yeah, so I thought Russ might be in there, but he must have picked Gotham Knights because, yeah, they had both available. And so I'm picking 11th in the Gotham Rogues division.
So I am in the Savannah Bananas division. I was gonna pick Florida Gators because that was my college team growing up, but they weren't even a division. What the hell, Scott? Florida State and Miami are in there, and just that's a little small piece of me that actually like set me off for like 3 seconds. But and then I was gonna pick SMU because that's my alma mater, but I decided to pick Savannah Bananas. It'd be something different. Fun and we'll get to the closing remarks, but the Avies are awesome, and a Savannah Bananas Avi looked pretty sweet. And I thought I saw Chalupa Batman, Zach Berger, who's going to be on in a couple of weeks. I saw his Avi and I'm like, yep, that's the vision I want, because it's yellow and awesome and has a banana in it. So and then he says he's Nashville Live 112 for the third year in a row. Love me back to back picks. Yeah, sure. Why not? I don't have a strategy. I don't pretend to know anything. I picked six running backs in the first six rounds last year. So I don't pretend to know anything. And then he said, what do you want to move from the 102 to the 104 in Superflex rookie drafts? This is a tough year to do that.
I was just going to say, you have to take almost anything to be able to do that, because nobody wants to move up from 104 to 102.
No one's like going to give you a first for that.
Oh, no.
Matt, what do you think?
I mean, I sort of disagree. Like, I think that, I mean, if we're talking, I don't know. I think I personally think Hunter is worth moving up for. If, unless you think he's falling to four, or you have some kind of information on your league, I would be okay moving up to get Hunter. I wouldn't want to pay a first, but you know, the 102 wants the first to move back. So I guess I'm probably not paying that price, but if they wanted a second, I'd pay a second, and maybe a second and a third to move up from four to two to get Hunter.
Mm-hmm. So you, well, his actual question was about moving from 102 to 104. So would you take,
oh, I'm sorry. I misinterpreted going the other direction.
Yeah.
Would you take something else? What are you asking for? And then what are you accepting?
Yeah.
First,
I'm definitely asking for a first or a player equivalent, you know. Yeah. I don't think I would. I don't think that I would move back. I wouldn't. There's a player there that I like more than the player at four, for sure. Now, if you're Omari and Hampton fan, and I mean, he's been slipping a little bit too. He's not my 102. Or my whatever. I'm getting lost on this question for some reason. But yeah, basically, I wouldn't want to move back. I would just take Hunter and be done with it.
Okay. Back to Dynasty's questions. He says, who are your top targets for 2025 rebuilders? I have no idea. Oh,
jeez.
I mean, about this.
Just as much rookie picks as you can acquire.
Yeah.
And then figure it out when people want your rookie picks.
I was trying to think, scrolling down in the rankings a little bit. I mean,
again, you got to pick players that people hate right now. If you're trying,
Jameson Williams is one for me. I think if you can get Jameson Williams for not as much as people think he's worth, if someone hates him, I think that's a good one. I think Ayuk is a good one.
I like buying Waddle and Olave.
Okay. Well, why Olave? Yeah,
I think Waddle is a good one. People are trying to.
I love Waddle. And I know everyone hates Olave right now, but he's still, I think he's still.
Including the two on this screen.
Yeah, I know. I know you guys are the haters. So are my co-hosts. I get it.
I'm trying to think if there's anyone. I'm scrolling way down ADP. Just, I don't want to do a bunch of dead air, but.
A guy that's higher up, but I don't mind trying to buy, because I think he could go a lot higher up, is Roma Dunze.
Yep.
He's still in ADP low, like wide receiver two range. And there's definitely potential there to really explode with Ben Johnson there, with Caleb another year in, with him another year in. I just, that value could look low a year from now.
Jonathan Brooks, if you think his knee is going to be together.
Oof. Man, that's a scary buy. That is a
it's scary asking
buy.
A lot.
Like what do you like? I just don't know how do you even get him? Like, what is the manager gonna feel good about sending? Like, you're not gonna get a first for him, and if I'm only getting a second or a late second, which is probably even more than I would want to pay for him, like what's the point of even moving him at that point?
Yeah, agree.
But
Braylon Allen's another one I had in my head, because the Lions might go Monty and Gibbs, or the Jets. Wow. Lions OC. But they might go Monty and Gibbs.
I guess just if you believe in Keon Coleman, he's way down at wide receiver 55, probably can be had for nothing.
Bills just seem like
but
such a
I don't
dumpster
like
fire
so I, receivers. Yeah.
I was looking that real low too. Wide receiver 72 is Tank Dell. Do you have any interest in?
I mean, I love me some Tank, but yeah, I love some Tank. I mean, he's probably a third at this point, right? So
yeah sure. he's missing the whole year, I think. Correct. So,
all right, we'll close out with this. I don't know why he called that Rocky, but this is interesting. Who are all of your, but especially Rocky's 2025? Fade elite quarterbacks to overachieve. I don't know what that
means. No, I think the question he's asking is for someone who fades elite quarterbacks, who are your targets to overachieve? You asked the question, but that's why he targeted it towards me.
So who are the value quarterbacks?
Oh, okay.
Dak. Is that it?
My answer.
I think that's basically what he's asking. Like, it's for someone who's not going, who's trying to do what I do, like, who are you targeting?
Geno Smith, baby. Geno Smith, all day.
I think the obvious one is because, you know, team old guy always works well for this, is Matthew Stafford.
Sure. Justin Fields, I would also.
Cheap. I think you're going to get a lot of points for him.
If I'm searching for rushing quarterbacks, and I always am, Justin Fields all the way down at quarterback 26.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said Dak. I think Baker's always undervalued. He's QB 16 right now. I think his offense somehow got better.
I still think if he doesn't get concussed to it at QB 23, has low end QB 1 potential every year.
I think maybe the best, it's not a super cheap guy, I guess, but cheaper than he's ever been, is I already said him once the show, but Trevor Lawrence. I feel very good about this Jacksonville offense and him, you know, being a previous, you know, quote unquote generational prospect. He runs a little bit. He's got two incredible wide receivers now. He's got the pass-oriented coach that helped reinvigorate said Baker Mayfield. So I'm buying a lot of Trevor Lawrence this year.
Yeah, and I've always said, too, with what I do, it's not necessarily always just getting the super cheap old guys. It's getting guys who undervalued. Like, the example I always bring up is, like, 3 or 4 years ago, I was buying a lot of Hurts. Because he was still worth something. But he was kind of in the QB 14 range before he broke out that Trevor Lawrence is in right now. That said, I've never been a big Trevor Lawrence guy since like his first year, but Matt's smarter than me. So Matt's probably right.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Bryce Young too. Bryce Young all the way down at 23, like good end of the season. If you still want to, I still kind of want to believe in Anthony Richardson, although it's very dangerous at this point. QB 24. I don't know if you'll actually be able to buy him for those prices, but
would you take Bryce or Tua? They're right next to each other.
I'd probably go Bryce, but I don't know. I like Tua fine. I want to bet on some youth, I guess, a little bit.
Yep.
But they're probably same tier though.
Yeah, I would probably lean to it just because I've always been into a guy. But there's no, like, I don't know if there is with Bryce either, but I have no illusions that Tua is ever, like, a top five quarterback or anything like that. I'm mostly just thinking he's kind of that. I always shoot for low-end ones to high-end two range guys, and I think he can be that at a QB 23 price. So,
hey, what about guys that have fallen off, like, massively? Like, instead of being quarterback one or two, like C.J. Stroud was last year, now he's all the way down to quarterback 13.
That's a good one. Yeah.
It's not cheap, but it's a lot cheaper than it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Stroud's QB 10 behind Caleb, Justin, and May.
And if you can get a cheap price on Kyler, like we were saying earlier, I love Kyler.
I'm always buying Kyler.
Yeah, and I'm working on a project for the offseason on a bunch of revenge games. And since Matt brought up Justin Fields, I will say if Aaron Rodgers is a Steeler, which, you know, in theory we should know in the next week, by the time we record next Tuesday, we should know this, it would be Jet Steelers, Fields versus his old team, and Rodgers versus his old team in week one. So everyone get excited. And on that will be the end of our show sheet. So that will be the end of our show. Thank you, Matt, for coming on. I appreciate you. And why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, everything's over at DLF, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. I write sometimes. You can follow me on Twitter at MattPriceFF, at MatthewPrice.BSky.whatever. And thank you guys so much for having me on. I love coming on the show. It's a lot of fun.
Blue Sky needs to fix that. It needs to be like Matt Price at BSky or something like that.
Something
that needs to be cut down. Our stuff, Frank Neal at Frank of the Chat on socials, Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict on socials. We have our Patreon. You can watch us while we record. Patreon.com/TreyoxPod. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. Lots of discussions always going on in there, which is always fun. And of course, always Fantasy Cares is going on. We talked about our divisions and our draft spots today. SFB, we're like 1 month away from live draft starting, if you can believe it, which is crazy. Merch is coming out. They dropped all the NFL stuff yesterday, so we're going to get Rocky a Scott Fish Eagles shirt if we can help it. So, because the Eagles logo looks really, which is always get in and do races, and it's always a fun time. So we can, on that, I guess, as Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a training problem, you're never alone. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Great Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. A proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pan, that is the best. See ya.